Blog Talk Radio.
On October 30, 1990, a young woman by the name of Cynthia Lorraine Ricketts Richardson was executed and dismembered by her husband, Donald Glenn Richardson. Her body parts were scattered over a 50-mile area in and around the Columbia River in the state of Oregon. As if the abuse Cindy suffered at the hands of her husband wasn't enough, the state of Oregon delivered its own brand of injustice to not only Cindy and her family, but to a second family as well. That is, when Donald was released from prison after only a 25-year sentence for his heinous crime against his wife. When Donald was released due to a new law that had been passed by the state legislature, he committed a crime so horrible it should have earned him the death penalty. Sadly, he will be released from prison in 2023. The family has fought for years to keep him in prison even before he was released the first time. This is Cindy's story. This is finally the justice she nor her family ever received at the hands of the criminal justice system in Oregon, from the attorney general down to the psychiatrist who stated that he was not a danger to others. While he was awaiting trial for Cindy's murder, his defense attorney stated in court that it was just a garden variety murder. Now Cindy can rest and her family can find the peace that has eluded them for so many years. Justice for Cindy by Yvonne Mason, available today on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Friday night at 8 o'clock, it's Off the Chain with me, your host, Yvonne Mason. That was a piece of shameless promotion, but it not really so shameless because the state of Oregon is responsible for a lot that happened to that victim as well as the second family. Get that book, Justice for Cindy. It is a true crime. Also tonight, I want to give a shout-out to author Andrew Bouchard. He has a cute little book called The Seduction of Anita Sarkisson. And this is what it says. Anita Sarkisson doesn't want you to read this book, so if you hate Anita, then why not irritate her by purchasing a copy? It's romance, funny, and a wild ride. Go on Amazon and order it. It is The Seduction of Anita Sarkisson by Andrew Bouchard. Now, if you want to give a shout-out or if you want to do an ad on my show, go to advertisecast.com and look for Off the Chain, and all of my pricing is on there. I'm very reasonable, ladies and gentlemen. I just can't talk tonight. I don't know why. Now, for some good news before we get to the fun part, ran my numbers this morning. And those of y'all that have followed me from this show know that this show is not even a year old. We're only 6 months old. On Blog Talk Radio alone, where 65% of our listeners are from our friends down under in the wonderful country of Australia, thank you guys, that 65% of our listeners are from Australia. To me, that is a beautiful thing. 30% are from the good old USA. So y'all going to have to catch up if you're going to beat Australia because they got us 2-1. But anyway, today's numbers, just on the show itself, 3,283. We are very close to 4,000 on this show. Now, when we include all the podcasts that I have up for this show and the different podcasts that I run, we are at 9,248 listeners. We are 762 listeners shy of the goal that I had for 10,000 by the end of this year. This tells me that we are doing something right on this show. We are taking care of our guests. We're making it all about them. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this show is all about our guests, whoever they are. So if you have a passion, if you have business, if you have an art, if you have a book, music, or if you just want to debate the political issues, I'll debate them. I don't care. Contact me. You can contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com, and I'll put you on the show. We're already taking shows through May. So, yeah, this show is very, very popular and get more popular by the day. Tonight, our special guest, first-time guest, so we're going to open up the phone lines. This is going to be just get you something to drink and sit back and kick your feet up because this is going to be a fantastic show. We're opening up the phone lines, 516-387-1756, because our guest tonight is poet Robert J. Luthold. Now, Robert was born November the 3rd, 1977, and he says he's been a hellraiser, sans the chains and leather, well, for now, ever since the day he was born. And after he was dragged kicking and screaming into the writing world by a mutual friend, Hydra Morningstar, he became a regular contributor to the Infernal Ink magazine, and he had sporadic appearances elsewhere. He currently resides in Thibodaux, Louisiana. I love the name of that city. It just rolls off the tongue, Thibodaux. And he can be found on Facebook. But when he's not writing or planning world domination, and I'm waiting for that one, he hosts Metal Invaders on Radio Free Satan, which is really a showcase for his passion for metal music. He is also a Church of Satan member. Welcome, Robert. I am so glad you were here. He's also, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to read some of his poetry, so kick back. Welcome to our show tonight. Thank you for spending an hour with me.
Well, thank you for having me, Yvonne.
We're just going to just jump right into it. Normally, I do a little, soft shoe shuffle, but I really want the folks to know about Robert Luthold. Were you always into the things that you're in now, into writing poetry and into planning world domination, or was it an involvement?
Well, I haven't gotten into politics yet, so I'm working on the world domination thing from a different angle. Writing, I kind of fiddled around with it over the years, but it was way back in the days when the internet was young and MySpace was the thing that I did a lot of writing via my MySpace blog. And Hydra is the one you can blame for my writing career, because she would see what I was writing and she would keep needling at me, saying, "Well, you're good. You should write." And I was like, "No, I'm not all that good." And a couple of years ago, she was calling for submissions for Infernal Ink, and I took a chance, and I've been doing it pretty much ever since, up until the January issue this year. I wrote so much, I was backlogged for the magazine, and the upcoming issue will be the first one without a contribution from me, and it's kind of weird for both of us.
I bet, because you've been with her for a long time.
And I think we've driven each other more insane over the course of our working relationship.
Well, tell the folks a little bit about Infernal Ink magazine. I've had Hydra on the show before, and I got to get her back on here. But some of the folks might not know about this beautifully twisted, insane magazine.
Well, Infernal Ink goes more along the lines of dark, erotic horror, dark, erotic fiction. It's definitely not for those easily offended or the prudish. As a matter of fact, the poems I'm going to read, a P appeared in Infernal Inc.'s pages, or stained them, if you will. And I really have fun writing the way I do because I know that the language I use doesn't sit well with people.
Well, because they don't understand the way that people's minds work. They don't open up their minds. My mother taught me a very valuable lesson. I was reading a book in college that I had to read for a book report. I hated the book. It was written in the 1920s, and it was written by a female, and it drove me insane. And she said, "Yvonne, just stop. Open your mind. Read that book with an open mind." Well, when I stopped fighting the words on the printed page, I learned some things. And it's the same thing with Infernal Inc. One can learn things in the most macabre, insane places.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
And it can also be a good learning experience, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, yes. My goal when I write is I either arouse, offend, or both. I had one person actually tell me that my poetry made their skin crawl in a bad way.
But it got a reaction.
Yes, and that's what I go for.
Is to get a reaction, whether it's spooky, scary, horrific. If a writer can get a reaction out of a reader, even if it's in making someone's skin crawl in a bad way, that means that writer nailed it.
Exactly. My view is I don't mind if people talk about me because whether it's good or bad, at the end of the day, I'm still in their mouth and they better be prepared to swallow.
Exactly. Now, real quick. You told me before the show you had some passions. Your passions were music, horror movies, and reading.
And, of course, coffee, yes.
And coffee, absolutely. That is a breakfast of champions.
Yes, it is.
Some mornings I just want to open a vein and stick an IV in there and just stick a bag of liquid coffee and just walk around with it.
You know, I've considered mainlining it myself.
I like that. So explain to the folks how music, horror movies, and of course reading, and we know what coffee does, it's our drug of choice, how it has inspired you and helped you on your journey of writing this beautiful, and it is beautiful poetry, whether it's, even though it is, could be in a bad way to some people. It is beautifully written poetry. Explain to the folks how that has helped you. You're welcome.
With music is usually what opens up the creative juices in my mind. You see, my mind is a rather scary, dark place, but I live in my head most of the time, so it's cool, you know. I'll just move a skull here, move a cobweb there, and usually my writing technique is it might be a dream or it might be a flash where I'm just sitting here and the words will flow. And certain music, like, for example, My Dying Bride, which is a doom metal band out of England, really hits that darkly romantic note when I'm writing. They have somewhat romantic lyrics. Sometimes it deals with death. A lot of times it deals with sexuality. So there's also that. Not that there's anything wrong with sex, mind you.
No, absolutely not. Before you read your first poem, if you will, I'm going to read something that I found. It might be on your list, it might not. But I'm going to read something that I found that you wrote January the 26th.
On my Facebook page?
Yes. And when I read it meant a lot to me.
Sure,
because
go ahead. And no, that's not one that I've chosen. It's one of my, I've chosen my erotic poetry for tonight, but do go ahead.
Okay, because the reason that it struck a note with me is because many, many times we don't see beyond the surface of a person.
Oh, I agree.
And I think this is what you were trying to say, and I thought, I've got to print this because some of us are underestimated all the time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very special, precious poem. And it's called Understanding, and it is written by Robert. He wrote it on Thursday, January the 26th of this year. And he says, "You may have seen me naked, but have you ever seen me cry? Seen me bared to the very core? Until you have, you don't know me, not really. This is not an accusation, but fact. Those who have seen understand. The missives I speak are but glimpses. Few dive in and try my inner workings. Few know how. Those that have covet this as a precious jewel." Robert, that is one of the most beautiful pieces I have ever read in my entire life.
Thank you, Yvonne.
It gave me chill bumps in a good way because you literally bared your soul in this piece.
See, and that's what a lot of people that only see the surface, only look at what I post on Facebook, you know, they miss what's inside. And I actually make people work for that. I don't leave it out in the open because vulnerability is dangerous because people use that against you.
And do quite
That's not paranoia, that's fact.
But when I read this, I got it.
And that was my point. I mean, I knew the right people reading that would understand.
And I appreciate it because this poem, ladies and gentlemen, if you really listen to the poem with an open mind, what Robert is saying, in my interpretation, which could be wrong, but I think not, is you have to do more than just see the shell of Robert because there's more to Robert than just what you see. And he only lets a few people in because, like he says, vulnerability is dangerous. And those people that are allowed in to the soul of this beautiful young man, and I say that in a very complimentary way, Robert, they receive precious jewel because he is loyal, he is loving, and he will always be one's friend. Have I got that about right, Robert?
Yes, it's like I tell people, if I like you, if I care for you, I'll move mountains for you, but if you piss me off, I'll drop them on your head.
Amen, after my own heart. So, yes, I am framing this, if you don't mind, and saving it, and we'll probably read it the next time you come on the show because this is absolutely breathtaking.
Oh, I don't mind at all, and thank you for the compliment again.
You're quite welcome. Now moving on to a lighter side of our life. You are a member of
sure.
the Church of Satan, and for the listening audience that doesn't understand, that think you're some dark, creepy monster looking to cart off their children by your claws, that's not what it is at all.
Oh, no, and I can just very briefly go over that, but allow me to make clear that I am a member of the Church of Satan, but I do not speak for the Church of Satan.
Very good.
All right. From
now,
the top, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Now, finish your thought.
Okay. For the listeners out there that may not be aware, Satanism actually begins with atheism. It's a very life-loving religion and philosophy. We hold children and animals very highly. We don't abuse animals or children. We are all about consent. All these sensationalist news stories you hear about Satanists killing animals, hurting kids, that's all bunk. We don't do that.
And hopefully you've educated a bunch of folks. Now,
I do my part, yes.
Because Hydra was on the show and she also expressed that same thing, that it is your faith and it's not what the Hollywood types and those who are uneducated purport it to be. So
right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to come and carry off your children, nor is he going to harm your animals. He's a very nice man.
You know, honestly, one of the best cinematic representations of Satanism, minus the sex scene with the devil, of course, is Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby.
Absolutely. I had forgotten about that movie, but you are absolutely right.
Because if you look at it at the very end, when Rosemary gazes, you know, in shock at her child, everyone else in the room is praising the child, adoring the child, and being very protective towards the child. And when that movie came out, audiences were furious because Satanists were the good guys, and that's not how it works. Yes, it is.
That is very true. Now, we have teased our listeners long enough. So, the floor is now yours. Read your first poem, and then let's discuss it.
Okay. Yes, I will admit, I freely admit, and you'll have to forgive me, I have help staff and it sounds like they're back, so you may hear the door opening. But yes, I am a horrible, horrible tease. We've teased your audience the entire time. You know, we're going to read Robert's poetry and... Just as a fair warning, if you have small children in the room, you might want to get them out of the room, because if not, they'll learn some interesting new words. This one is actually called The Maiden of the Black Earth. And I'll actually describe the poem a little bit. This one actually started with, I had this idea in my mind of a kind of like, you know, the blighted spot in woods that you always hear about in these almost Lovecraftian horror stories. And it took off from there, and it went into a very sexual direction. And, alright, this is called The Maiden of the Black Earth, and it was in Infernal Inc. I can't quite remember which issue right now. But, here we go. This is actually going to be the first time I've read work of mine, so do forgive if I kind of stutter a little bit.
No worries.
All right. Wandering through autumnal woods alone. sorry, I'm a little nervous here.
Well, just take a deep breath, just me and you having a conversation.
All right. I came upon a barren spot where nothing grew, a blighted spot. Hold on, let me take a deep breath and just start over.
That's fine. Take your time, Robert. It's no problem.
I don't know why I'm so nervous.
Sweetheart, it's just me and you. Don't worry
about
it.
I know, but, you know, the whole 9,000 listeners.
They're going to love you. Trust me. You're doing wonderful. I am very proud of you. And I am encouraging you, get your poetry out there, because we have a surprise for the audience after you get through reading your poetry that they get to look forward to.
Oh, yes. They're
okay.
Going to love me? Are you sure? Have you
Absolutely.
Bribed the right people?
Yes.
You bribed the right people, right?
I
That's
did.
Why they're going to love me, right?
And if
no,
they don't
I'm
love
kidding.
Me, I'll just send the monkeys after them. It's no big deal.
Oh, so you got flying monkeys too, huh?
I do. So just take a deep breath, because
right.
now you've got me interested in this poem, and I want to hear the rest of it.
All right. I was just doing that to kind of relax myself, and it worked.
It worked.
It worked.
Now you're ready to rock and roll.
All right. Again, this is the Maiden of the Black Earth. Wandering through autumnal woods alone, I came upon a barren spot where nothing grew. A blighted spot, save for a strange shrine of some kind. As I waited, the forest seemed to breathe, and as though from nothing, a woman appeared from the forest. Excuse me, John.
That's okay. Just keep going.
Her hair, the color of bonfires, with skin as ruddy as the season itself. She smells of burning leaves and dead earth. An outstretched hand beckons me closer as a voice as chilled as the breeze speaks. I am the Maiden of the Black Earth. Come and taste of eternity. I am helpless to... Hold on, I need to take a breath here.
Take a breath.
All right, let me just give
you
your listeners
really...
a bit
okay,
of an aside.
That's okay. Now you've really
what
got
it
me.
What is I have cerebral palsy, and I have a spinal curve. So on occasion, my lungs kind of empty out, and I try to rush through everything in one breath.
Don't rush through it. Take your time. Let it flow. Because we are in no hurry. What we don't get tonight, we get to another night.
All right. Okay. I am helpless to resist as the desire burns deep inside, shedding everything save for my boundless pride to the throes of lust. Nails sharp as daggers stain my back crimson with each successive thrust in inside her. The air tight with tension and magic as our seed nourishes the earth. I feast until sated, tasting of ancient pleasures, you.
Take a breath.
Humanity wanes as I go grow drunk on her pleasures. More beast now than man, I do not relent. Howling with pleasure at my godly ascent. What was before is what was before is blotted out in frenzied rebirth because I have dared to fuck the maiden of the black earth.
That is beautiful.
Thank you. I'm sorry I kind of had a few false starts there.
No, need to apologize. And because let me tell you something. Reading that and having difficulty breathing and reading that, I can understand. But you persevered, and it even gave it a more haunting reading because I can see the person being affected by the Maiden of the Black Earth and struggling to move forward in this blighted area.
Yes, that's really what it was. I believe I was listening to some Type O Negative at the time, and I wrote this actually around Halloween a couple of years ago, and it just flowed much better than my reading of it, but it flowed.
Robert, the reading was perfect. I'm telling you, the reading was fun, my friend. It's haunting. And
thank
the
you.
Struggle with the reading was like the person was struggling in this poem. And I know it wasn't something you planned, but it fit the poem. So don't apologize.
Thank you. And like I said, that was actually my first time ever reading work of mine. But a lot of the way I write, I always like to leave a lot of it to my reader to kind of give them a miniature movie in the mind. And that's usual. I mean, you know, case in point with this one. I won't even say there's an undertone of sexuality. There is blatant sexuality in a lot of my poems. And a lot of people don't like the fact that I don't like using the word pussy. Because
right.
I feel that pussy is overused. I prefer to use cunt. People don't like when you use that word. But I love that word, and let me tell you why. It rolls right off the tongue.
And it fits in the writings that you do because the what you're trying to portray is raw and guttural, and it's not what's another word? It's raw and guttural and savage.
Yes, it is. My work isn't for everyone, and a lot of my work is inspired in part by the works of the Marquis de Sade. I feel that the current idea of what BDSM is because of 50 Shades of Grey is not really BDSM, but it's abuse.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have been preaching that ever since those books came out.
50 Shades of Grey is more, much like Twilight, because 50 Shades started as a Twilight fan fiction. Not very many people know that. Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey are both symptomatic of abusive relationships.
Yes, they are. You are exactly right. And I am a survivor of domestic abuse. So my husband and I were out one day, and I picked up the book to see what all the hype was about, and it took me about three sentences to almost throw that book down and throw up in the store, because I said, this is abuse. This is sexual and domestic abuse, and they're praising it as something wonderful, and it isn't. So to hear a man say that they agree that 50 Shades is abuse, my hat is off to you.
You know, when people try to tell me watch, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, I say, no, thank you, I'd rather watch Secretary. Secretary is a more accurate depiction of a BDSM relationship.
That is true. Because they don't have to, one partner doesn't have to kidnap the other one in order
right.
to make them comply.
BDSM is all about a willful surrendering of control. But once that control is surrendered, then the dominant is responsible for taking care and seeing to the welfare of their submissives.
Exactly.
It's not about, you know, battering the submissives, seeing how much they can take.
Because then that becomes severe.
That becomes abuse, if not outright slavery. There's a difference and there's a line.
And with BDSM, there's not mental and emotional abuse as there is in domestic abuse.
Right. Now, I mean, this probably goes deeper down this rabbit hole than intended, at least for this first show. But some people do have fetishes where they're, you know, they get subjected to abuse. I personally don't feel a need for that. I mean, granted, fetishes are what they are. I mean, I found out that some people have wheelchair fetishes. So, hey, more fun for me.
Exactly. There's no abuse
and,
there.
To kind of make a little light of all this, I mean, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, once you go black, you never go back. Well, I tell people, once you go gimp, you walk with a limp.
Robert, you're a mess. You are an absolute mess. I don't know about you, my friend. See why
I
you
warned
to
you. I did
but you
warn
are,
you, if you remember.
You are amazing. You're an absolutely amazing. You're amazing with your poetry. You're amazing with your take on life. And if more people wouldn't take life so seriously, think how much more fun they would have.
Some people just don't know what it means to have fun.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter what state you're in. It's bottom line, it's all about the inside and how one is happy from the inside out, or one is accepting of the inside out. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It all comes from within. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. Now, all of that said, I do have my shortcomings. I do have my hang-ups. I mean, I've got depression. I've got things like that. I think every writer has a little bit of damage and a little bit of darkness to them. I mean, stairs are my arch enemy.
Well, yeah, they're mine too. I fall up them. You know, I look at them and go, really, you want me to climb these?
Yeah.
I've been known to fall down them.
You know, one of my friends who actually only has one arm, he jokes with me all the time. He's like, if you don't quit giving me shit, I will drop kick you down an off escalator.
Okay, that would be interesting. That's a visual I can see.
Oh, yeah. And I just tell him, hey, if you do that, I'll rip your other arm off in the spokes of my chair.
There you go. See? But Robert, the thing is, there is not a person on God's green earth that does not have something wrong with them, because none of us are perfect. And the person that says, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, they not only lie to them to others, but they lie to themselves.
You know, there's a phrase called, you know, some people say, fake it till you make it. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean, yeah, sure, there's putting up a front. There's kind of manipulating factors to get what you need, but I mean, if you're honest with yourself, and if you put, not to get too mystical here, but if you put positive energy out, I mean, that builds up behind you, and it gets you what you want.
Exactly. Now,
you know,
there is
and maybe a well-placed bribe here and there.
There is a saying that I found. I think I found it on either your site or your Facebook page. And I think you wrote this. There is a beast in man that should be exercised, not exorcised.
Yes,
and I
believe
that's
actually a statement by Dr. Anton Zander LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. He always believed, and this is one of the core beliefs of Satanism as well, we are just another animal, sometimes better, sometimes worse than those that walk on all fours. But if we're more in touch with our inner beast, our carnal side, people would be a lot happier. If they would accept who and what they were, they would be a lot happier. Instead of saying, oh, I have to be such a nice guy, I have to, you know, smile at everyone. I warn people, hey, I haven't had enough coffee today. Hey, I'm not in the best of moods. Give me some space. You know, I may be a member of the Church of Satan. I may hold the rank of warlock, but you know what? I've got depression issues. I'm on anti-anxiety medicine, and sometimes I have trouble making bills. But I have friends that care for me, and the reason I have friends that care for me and help me when I need it is because I'm not a fucking dick.
There you go. You are who you are. And you accept Robert for who Robert is, and people as a whole wear a mask, and they wear it in front of themselves.
I always say I don't like people. I love individuals.
There you go.
And I also say with a bit of a dark, sardonic sense of humor, I believe people should be studied, preferably vivisected under glass.
I kind of agree with you on that one. I like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if this is your first time, remember why we call this show Off the Chain, because this show is never scripted. I never know where a guest and I are going to go. We just go wherever the conversation leads us. So if you're easily offended, I'm not apologizing. This is the way it is. We are off the chain. For those of you who love the darker side, welcome. For those of you that have been with me since the inception of this show, you know anything goes on this show. That's why we call it off the chain. I can't talk, see? That's one of the issues I have. When I get tired, I stutter, I lose my thought process, I drop things, sometimes I even fall down. But that's okay.
Well, you know, some of the other jokes I use a lot. A little bit of lame humor, you know. Ha ha. Anyway, I always say I'm fun to go out drinking with because I'll never fall down drunk.
No, because you're always sitting.
Yeah.
See?
And, you know, if the writing hadn't taken off, I'd be a comedian on wheels. Oh, wait, I am.
You need to take this show on the road, Robert, because you have a lot of humor inside of you.
Well,
an awful
I'll tell
lot
you,
of humor.
If I didn't have the humor, I think I would be, I think I would have lost what little bit of a mind I have. You know, I think I would be screaming. You know, that's why I use the humor, which is more often than not self-deprecating. It's kind of an ego check because, you know, I have an ego about the size of California. You know, back when Arnold was running California, my ego started big.
As it should be. You should never be ashamed of your huge ego. I'm telling you, it is one of the things that is so endearing about you. I've read enough of your posts, and I followed you for quite a while, that's one of the things that makes you who you are, and that's one of the things that I really, really appreciate about you is your dark, sardonic wit, because my husband and I both have one. And we can come off the wall with some things, and people look at us like, are you serious or are you kidding?
Oh, I'm rarely serious. I mean, it's rare when you actually see me genuinely go off on a tangent about something, but it happens like every once in a blue moon.
Well, you have some news.
Oh, yes.
So tell the folks, because we're going to save, because you've already been baptized by fire with reading your poetry aloud tonight. I'm going to not push that until you come back on, because you're coming back on in May, and maybe by May you'll be a little bit more comfortable with reading aloud. I'm very, very happy that you were willing to take that step. That makes me feel so honored and so humbled, and I appreciate it because that was a beautiful, beautiful piece of work.
Well, thank you, Yvonne, and also you can mark this down. I mean, I took a step today. Even though it wasn't a physical step, I still took a step.
Absolutely.
Triple humor. There we go again.
But it was a big step because
yes, it was.
It is very difficult to read in front of other people, in front of an audience, and not everyone can do it. And for you to be able to do it, and yes, even though you lost your breath at times, and I was holding my breath for you because I didn't want you to pass out on me.
Oh, don't worry, I wasn't gonna let myself pass out or anything like that.
But the way that it was read was haunting. It was beautiful. It was dark. It was macabre. It was horror without being horrible.
Well, that one was. None of the ones that I have selected are what you would call gross out poems, but I do have a few of those in my repertoire. I've got one that involves necrophilia, you know, cracking open a cold one, a real dead fuck, you know.
There you go with that depreciating humor. But ladies and gentlemen, he's got some news. I'm going to let him tell you, but it's not going to happen until next year, but we're going to tease you with the news. Tell the folks what's coming out next year.
Yes, yes, I am a horrible, horrible tease, and I am working with our dear friend, Hydra Imsar, on getting a poetry collection out titled Obsidian Orations. As it gets closer to release, I will get you the information and the price points as well.
And we'll launch the book on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, and we all stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, believe it or not, we're getting to the end of the show.
Hey, you know that it was a mark of a good show when we go an hour and it only feels like 5 minutes, right?
Exactly. What I would like for you to do is tell the folks where they can find you, because I know that our listening audience is going to love you just like I do.
Sure, that would be facebook.com/RobertJLuthol. That is LEUTHOLD. And just let me know that you've found my Facebook via Off the Chain, and I will add you. I will warn the listening audience that I am very opinionated, and what you see on my page very well may shock and offend you. But hey, what are you going to do? Break my legs? Oh, what a threat that is.
You are so bad. Now, as I told you before the show, in about 2 minutes, what would you tell someone that came to you and said, Robert, I have this dream, but I don't know how to make it real? What would you tell them?
Well, the best way I can tell anyone to actually actualize a dream that they have is to assess what it would take to make that dream a reality and take the steps to actualize it. Live that dream. Make it happen.
And never look back.
Exactly.
Because
the only time you should look back is when you're reflecting upon your success.
Wise words, my friend. Very wise words. I like that.
And also, I would like to mention that you're not always going to succeed, but it's not necessarily a failure. It's a lesson.
Exactly. Because if they never tried, they've already failed.
Right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that know me know that the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show, I try to impart some philosophical words of wisdom. And my brother, who I've talked about before, who is mentally and physically challenged, and I call him unique. In the 50s, we called him retarded. That was the labels they gave. But my brother was never supposed to be successful. Well, my brother taught me that failure is never an option, and that in order to be successful, one has to take that first step. And one has to believe, and one has to understand that the word can't, C-A-N apostrophe T, is not in one's vocabulary. Now, I understand how difficult it was for Robert to read that poem, because I understand how difficult it is for Robert to breathe and try to talk while under a stressful situation, and it was very stressful, and I am so proud and appreciative and humbled because Robert took that step. That is success. Would you agree, Robert?
Yes, I would.
So when someone comes up to me or comes up to Robert, now understand, ladies and gentlemen, Robert is in a wheelchair. Robert has to have help in his home in order to do the things that need to be done. But that has not stopped Robert from being successful. This man is very successful. He writes beautiful poetry. And yes, sometimes it can be a little bit off the cuff, but get past it, ladies and gentlemen. Pay attention to the flow, to the meaning, and to the words. And just like when he read that poet tonight, I could see it. It was absolutely stunning. So before you use the excuse of, well, I have too much of this, I have too much of that, I have small children, I work, I do this, I do that, I go to the gym, my kids are in soccer, my kids are in softball, my kids are this, my kids are that, my husband does it. Stop. The excuses don't work. This entire universe is made up of dreamers, inventors, painters, writers, artists, musicians. Without the dreamers, we would not have the things we have. We wouldn't even have Robert's wheelchair without the dreamers. So if you have a dream, never, ever, ever allow anyone to steal that dream without your permission. Never allow anyone to tell you or your child that they are not good enough, because you are and they are. Whatever that dream is, if it's dog catcher, if it's garbage collector, it is your dream or their dream, and they're entitled to it. You're entitled to it. So remember, when you say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that and I don't have time and da-da-da-da-da, those are excuses. Am I right, Robert?
Yes, and actually I can't remember who said this exactly, but it's a phrase that a friend of mine used, and it fits. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, how important is your dream? I went to college at 52 years old. I graduated with a 4.0 GPA. I became a bounty hunter at 54. I published my first book at 56. I started my own radio show 6 months ago. I'm 65. So it's never too late. Because when you get on that deathbed at night and you're on your way out the door and somebody says, do you have regrets? Don't be that person. Right, Robert?
Right. I don't have regrets. I have things I wish I would have done differently, but I don't call them regrets. And I don't let myself be held back by, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. I can't change what I've done. I can only adjust.
And move forward.
Right.
And you can't bring the past with you, because if you bring the past with you, guess what? You get bogged down and you can't go into the present or the future. So,
exactly.
Ladies, if you've got a dream, live it. I'm telling you, from experience, live the dream. As my brother says, failure is never an option. Tomorrow night, we will have Vicki Goodwin on our show. She is an author. So be here at 8 o'clock for Off the Chain. Robert, my friend, you are an amazing human being, and I thank you so, so much for spending an hour with me and doing your debut reading on my show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So, ladies and gentlemen, love yourself, love each other, accept yourself, accept each other, and know that if it's Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it's Off the Chain. We will be here again on Wednesday night with our friend Taylor Dawn. It's her second show with us. Be sure and join us at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night as well. And Robert, my friend, I'm going to say goodnight so that you can go rest, and I will send you all the tags for the shows.
All right. Thank you, Yvonne.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Good night,
have
darling.
A pleasant evening.
You too.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.